started a new series last week called The Blessed Life. The Blessed Life. If you missed last Sunday's sermon, I strongly encourage you to listen to it online. You can listen to it through the church app as well on your way to work if you don't have time to sit down and actually watch the message. It was a wonderful introduction to this message about what it means to live a blessed life. We talked about how if you want to live a blessed life, it starts with your heart, because giving is all about the heart, right? When we give, it works selfishness out of our heart, and we develop a more generous and grateful heart. So please, if you missed last week's message, go back and listen to it so you can hear the heart behind why we are in this series about giving. So the title of today's message is What Test? What Test? Anybody ever say this in school? When you were in school, you show up to school bright and early on 8 a.m. and you go into class, and all of a sudden the teacher says, all right, get everything, get your pen and your paper out. You're ready for a test. And you go, what test? Is that just me? I did that plenty of times in school. I would go. Luckily, I was one of those people that was like really good at taking tests. I could just guess really, really, really well. And so if I didn't study, I could at least get a B. Which was nice because I didn't have to study, but in terms of actually learning things, it was not beneficial at all. But I said that way too many times. What test are you talking about? Some of you asked that question way more than others because some of you were prepared. But believe it or not, there is a test that we take every single time we get paid. The test is, whom are we going to thank for our income? Who are we going to thank? Who are we going to worship for our income? We'll talk more about this next week, but scripture talks about the principle of first. And so the first thing that you do with your money is, do you worship God with it, or do you worship the mortgage company, or do you worship the phone bill, or do you worship the oil and gas industry? Who do you thank? Who do you worship? It's a test. So as we talk about a blessed life, we have to talk about why we give. Malachi chapter 3 is where we're going to be this morning. We're also going to be in 2 Chronicles 31, if you have your Bibles and want to turn to those two places. If not, it will be up on the screen. But we're going to read Malachi chapter 3. This is what it says about giving. I'm sure most of you have heard this scripture before, if we can put it up on the screen. It says, "For I, the Lord, do not change." That's important. Listen to that. "I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." What is he saying? He's saying, hey, I do not change as the Lord. That's why you're not all dead yet. That's why I haven't passed judgment. Because if I hadn't extended grace and mercy to you, you would not be here today. Because Israel, you are not following the commands and the laws that I told you to follow. "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from me my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, well, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions." Notice that, tithes and contributions. Next slide, please. "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test." Everybody say test. Test, says the Lord of hosts. "And if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." God is saying this to the Israelites. He says, hey, you have been robbing me because you have not been giving your tithe and your contributions to the priests, which is what I told you to do. It was their income, right? Because they lived in a trading society, in an agricultural society, so everything was about trading, right? I'll give you an ox for 50 bushels of grain, and I'll give you wheat for corn and all of this types of stuff. So he's saying, bring your income to the storehouse, to the place that you worship the Lord. And if you don't, you are robbing me, is what God says. I want you to know, a pastor did not come up with that. I did not come up with that. God said that in scripture. And then he says this, "You are cursed with a curse for robbing me." Who likes to live under a curse? Anybody? No, Not at all. You say, well, I'm a Christian, so I don't live under the curse because Jesus bore the curse for all mankind, right? Well, yes, but we also know that there's consequences for our sin because grace does not give us a license to actively sin. And last time I checked, one of the Ten Commandments was thou shalt not steal. And God says, you're stealing. And if you're stealing, you will be cursed. So you bring the full tithe to the storehouse, and I will open the windows of heaven and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need for you at all. This is what God is saying here. What does this have to do with us? Some of you are saying, well, this is the Old Testament, right? Well, it's about 15 verses shy of the New Testament, okay? There's 15 verses that separate the Old Testament and the New Testament from Malachi chapter 3. But the spiritual principles are still the same today. Here's the first thing that we see. God is talking about tithing in this passage of scripture. And sometimes as Christians, when we talk about tithing, we get a little uncomfortable because there's a lot of debate around tithing. Is tithing biblical? Should we tithe? Should we not tithe? Does God still require 10%? Why is it 10%? All of these questions. Well, we're going to jump in and try to answer most of those today. But the first thing you need to know about tithing in this passage of scripture is this, that tithing is a test. Tithing is a test. It's a test of your heart. Last week, we talked about how it's all about your heart. That's what God is after. He's not after your pocketbook. He's not after your money because everything is his, right? He's the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need your money. He's after your heart. And tithing is a test of your heart. Say, well, how is a test of your heart? Well, it's a test of your heart because where your treasure is, there your heart lies also. Now, have you ever wondered why God asks us for 10%? Because tithe literally means a tenth. A tenth is what it means, okay? Why does God ask for 10%? I've asked this. God, why do you ask for 10%? Well, one, I think he does a percentage because it's fair, right? It's fair for every economic class, every social standing, every single person. 10% is 10%. It's not 100, it's not 500, it's not 1,000, it is 10%. So it's fair for everybody. And it all belongs to God anyway. Anyone can do it and receive God's blessings when they give 10%. But why 10? Why not 2%? Some of you are like, man, 2% would be great. If God asked me to give 2%, I can do that. That's wonderful. Even 5%, God, why not 5%? I can do 5%. Maybe not as much as I'd like to do 2%, but I can do 5%. Why 10%? Look at this. Because in the Bible, 10, the number 10, numbers mean things in the Bible. 10 is the number that represents testing. It represents testing. Everywhere in the Bible that you see the number 10, it is referencing a spiritual test for those people. Now, if you want to take a pen and a piece of paper out, we're going to take a test this morning. What test? Thank you, Bart. Appreciate it. Somebody's listening. We're going to take a test. You don't actually need a pen and paper, but there is audience participation, okay? So I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to give me the answer, okay? And I will help you with the first one. The first one's pretty easy, okay? Again, 10 is the number for testing, and God is all about testing your heart because he's after your heart. So here's the first question. How many plagues did God send to test Pharaoh's heart? 10. He sent 10 plagues, right, to test Pharaoh's heart. All right, 10. Remember that. Okay, there might be a theme here. How many commandments did God give to test the Israelites' obedience? 10. How many times did Jacob's wages change to test his dedication? 10. Okay, you guys getting this? All right, you might not know this one, but I think you can get it. How many times were the Israelites tested in the wilderness? 10. 10 times. How many days was Daniel tested? 10. How many virgins are there in Matthew chapter 25? 10. 10 virgins. How many days of testing are there in the book of Revelation? Come on, guys. 10. How many disciples are there? 12. There's 12. That one was a little tricky. You see, 10 is all about testing, testing our heart, testing our obedience to the Lord. It's a test of your heart. Are we going to have a selfish heart or a generous heart? Are we going to have a grieving heart or a grateful heart? Are we going to trust in the Lord to be our provider or trust ourselves? See, the interesting thing about testing in Scripture is that all of these moments of testing that we just listed, Jacob's wages changing, the Israelites in the wilderness, Pharaoh in his heart, all of these references to testing, all of them are about God testing us. Right? God testing Pharaoh's heart. God testing the Israelites' obedience. God testing Jacob's dedication. It's all about God testing us. But there's one place in Scripture where the testing is not about God testing us, but it's about us testing God. You know where that's found? Malachi chapter 3. Tithing is not only about testing your heart and your obedience to the Lord. It is the only place in Scripture that allows you to test God back. It's the only thing he gives us to test him, to see if he truly is who he says that he is. You see, tithing is a powerful, powerful thing because it's a test. Not just a test for you, but a test to the Lord. So if you want to test God to see how faithful he really is, start tithing. If you want to test God to see how much he truly loves and cares for you, tithe to God. If you want to test God to see how generous and how many blessings he can truly lavish on you to the point that there will be no more need for you, start tithing to God. It is a test to the Lord. Now, some of you may still be thinking, I understand tithing is a test, but isn't tithing just an Old Testament principle? Right? It's under the law. We don't live under the law anymore. This is one of the arguments that we hear for people who don't think tithing is still biblical. Well, like I said earlier, Robert Morris, he says this. He says this verse about tithing in Malachi is about 15 verses away from the New Testament. So he asked God, he said, well, why couldn't you just wait 15 verses and put it in the New Testament? Because then this argument would be gone. But there's a reason why God put it where he did. There's a reason why he put it in Malachi. Because we see that tithing is not only a test, but tithing is biblical. It is biblical. What do I mean by that? I mean, it's not just under the Old Testament law. In fact, we see tithing, it supersedes the law. We're going to look at a lot of scripture here because I'm a nerd and I really enjoy it. And it's good for you to know what the Bible says about this topic. If you go to Genesis chapter 14, we see about 500 years before the law is given to Moses, we see tithing in Scripture. Genesis chapter 14 says this, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Let me stop right there for a minute. If you remember way back, like 2 years ago, we did a study on Hebrews, preach a series on Hebrews. And we talked about how Melchizedek is a type, right? It means that it represents Jesus. A lot of scholars believe that Melchizedek in the Old Testament is actually Jesus in the flesh who comes and talks to Abraham, or he is symbolic of Jesus. And he brings out bread and wine. What does bread and wine reference? Well, right here it references communion, okay? So just remember that. It says, he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And Abram gave him a tenth of everything, a tithe of everything. So before the law was ever given to Moses, 500 years before, Abraham is giving a tithe to the Lord. That's pretty compelling. We then see in Exodus chapter 12, actually before we move on, I mentioned the communion thing, right? We believe in communion, right? Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Well, if you want to study the biblical understanding of communion, you will see how closely associated it is with tithing, okay? So if we still believe in receiving communion today, you might see where tithing will end up, and we'll get there. But you can trace those parallels between communion and tithing. It's a fun study to do. Exodus chapter 12. I actually don't think we have that one. That's for you to continue studying communion. My notes are already confusing myself. That's not good. All right, Genesis 28, 22. Let's look at that. This is 400 years before the law. If you remember the story, Jacob is traveling and he finds a place to rest because it's getting late. And so what does he do? He takes a stone and he puts it under his head. And while he's sleeping, God gives him this dream that, hey, all of this land that you're around, your descendants will possess. Okay, and Jacob wakes up and he's like, I heard from God. And so he dedicates this space to God. And this is what it says. And this stone, the one that he was sleeping on, which I have set up for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give a full tenth to you, a full tithe. Jacob, way before, 400 years before the law, is tithing to the Lord. Out of what? Out of worship to God, out of thankfulness of his heart to the Lord. We then see in Leviticus 27, verses 30, this is the law. This is where God gives a command about tithing. And this is what it says. It says, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. Say, is the Lord's. Is the Lord's. Right? It is all his. It's holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, then he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff shall be holy to the Lord. Next slide, please. One shall not differentiate between good or bad, neither shall he make a substitute for it. And if he does substitute for it, then both it and the substitute shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. See, God gives this command about tithing. At the same time, he gives the Ten Commandments, right? It says, these are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai, which is where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Now, I don't see any of us trying to get rid of the Ten Commandments, right? Thou shalt not steal is a good commandment to follow, right? Thou shalt not commit adultery is a great commandment to follow. And at the same time, God gave Moses this command about tithing as well. You see, just because a spiritual principle is under the law doesn't mean it is no longer a spiritual principle that we must follow. We don't follow the law anymore because Jesus fulfilled the law, and because even if we tried, we could not fully follow the law and remain holy and righteous to the Lord. You see, if you try to follow the law because that's what it says, that's called legalism. Right? That's you just doing things for the sake of doing things. It's not you doing things out of the bottom of your heart, out of your love and your adoration and your worship to the Lord. But it's still a spiritual principle that we must follow. And you say, Pastor Brandon, this is all great. I love where you're going with this, but you're still in the Old Testament, right? Show me where Jesus said to tithe, and I'll believe tithing is no longer an Old Testament principle. Some of you who struggle with tithing, you might really resonate with this. You're like, man, show me where Jesus says to tithe and I'll start tithing. Right? If you can give me the red letters, I will start tithing because Jesus said it. And if that's where you're at, hold on to your horses. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. This is Jesus talking. You can look it up in your Bible. If you have red letters, you'll see that Matthew 23, 23 is red letters. He's talking to the Pharisees, and before this, he's calling them hypocrites. He says, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Okay, that's what the English Standard Version says, which is pretty much a literal word-for-word translation, okay? Now, the grammar here in English is not exactly what the grammar in Greek is, but it gets the point across, okay? So you see the first part, it says, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, right? And then the last part is you neglect the weightier matters, justice and mercy and faithfulness. So what he's saying is these you ought to have done, referring to justice and mercy and faithfulness, right? You need to extend justice and mercy and faithfulness. You ought to do that without what? Neglecting the others. Well, what's the others? What he referred to before, the tithing of the mint, the dill, and the cumin. I really like how the NLT puts it because it really puts it into like common English for me, and I like it. This is what it says. It says, "For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." This is Jesus talking. And if Jesus was only about following the law, he wouldn't be having this conversation with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were extremely legalistic. They were all about just, this is what I need to do because this is what God says to do, so that's what I'm gonna do. And because of that, they would tithe, yes, but they neglected the humanity of what Jesus came to do, of enacting true justice, of giving mercy to those who need mercy and grace to those who need grace and faithfulness to the Lord and to those who need more faith in them. You see, Jesus here is saying, tithing is not about the law, it is about your heart. Just like having justice and mercy and faith is all about your heart, so is tithing. Jesus came to fulfill the law, but there are spiritual principles tied to tithing that do not go away. And Jesus understood this. So the challenge to the Pharisees was not to stop tithing, but to look at their heart and ask themselves why they were tithing. Tithing is biblical. Third thing that we see about tithing is this, that tithing is a blessing. Tithing is a blessing. We already understand that it's about your heart, right? If you just do it because that's what you feel like you're obligated to do, that's not why God wants your money. He wants your money because he wants you to worship him. He wants you to give every aspect of your life to him. So if you do it out of worship, you will see that tithing is a blessing. Look at 2 Chronicles 31, starting in verse 4. This is what it says. It says, "In addition, he required," this is King Hezekiah, "King Hezekiah required the people in Jerusalem to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord." I want to ask you a question, a hypothetical question. Answer in your mind. Would you go out to eat after church today to one of our multiple wonderful restaurants here in town? Sit down, order food for your entire family, and then leave the restaurant without paying for your meal? No, I don't think any of us would do that. Not even if we were hurting for money, but we were just really hungry. No, we'd go home, we'd make a bologna sandwich, we would eat a bag of chips, we would do whatever we needed to do, but we would never sit down at a restaurant, eat a meal, and leave without paying. Never think of doing that, right? The owners, they work hard for their money. They contribute to our community, and they have a family that they have to provide for. So if we leave, then we're stealing money from them. Yet, when it comes to our spiritual health and the spiritual food that we digest on a weekly basis, we sometimes don't have a problem doing this. You see, God gave you the church and pastors and teachers to give you spiritual food that satisfies your soul and draws you closer to the Lord. But yet there are times that we don't want to pay for it. Now hear me on this. I am not preaching this because I need a pay raise. I'm not preaching this because we're struggling financially. I don't get to pick and choose as a minister of the gospel what scripture I do and don't preach on. Okay, 2 Chronicles 31:4 is the one that says it, that they were required to bring a portion of their goods to the priests and the Levites so they could devote themselves fully to the law of the Lord, right? That is in scripture. I don't get to choose. God said it, not me. If you don't like the scripture, take it up with him. Plus, Kinsey and I, we came to this church and we started working full-time as the pastor before the pay was ever full-time. And if I needed to, I would go out and find another job to pay the bills because I didn't get into ministry for the money. I got into the ministry to help lead people like you closer to Jesus. So please, please hear my heart on that. With that being said, God cares so much about your soul that he has specifically called and directed people to give you spiritual nourishment and direction. And he instituted the tithe to help pay for that. And look at the blessings that occur when this happened. Because so many of you have been generous and you have tithed and you have given and you have contributed to the kingdom of God and to this church. We have seen souls get saved, people set free and delivered from addictions, from things that they never thought God could ever get rid of in their life. We've seen people be baptized. We've seen people just grow in their faith and their relationship with God. You can look around this sanctuary and see people. Every single one of you have been impacted by the ministry of this church. And it wouldn't happen if people like you didn't worship the Lord with their heart and give to him. There are so many blessings that occur when you tithe. Continuing on in verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 31, we see the blessings that Israel receives because King Hezekiah enacted this law back to the Israelites. Remember, God told them to tithe and then they stopped doing it. And King Hezekiah basically said, hey, we're going to do this again because this is what the Lord told us to do and we want to be blessed. It says this, it says, when the people of Israel heard these requirements, they responded generously. They didn't sit there and ask, well, can I give 5%? Can I give 2%? Can I just give whatever I have left over after I feed my family? No, they responded generously. Again, it's about the heart, by bringing the first share of their grain, the new wine, the olive oil, the honey, and all the produce of their fields. They brought a large quantity, a tithe of all they produced. The people who had moved to Judah from Israel and the people of Judah themselves brought in the tithes of their cattle, sheep, and goats, and a tithe of the things that had something. What's the next? That had been dedicated to the Lord their God. And they piled them up in great heaps. They began piling them up in late spring, the first harvest. And the heaps continued to grow until early autumn, the second harvest. And when Hezekiah and his officials came and saw these huge piles, they thanked the Lord and his people, Israel. Where did all this come from? Hezekiah asked the priests and the Levites. And Azariah, the high priest from the family of Zadok, replied, since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we have had enough to eat and plenty to spare. For the Lord has blessed his people, and all this is left over. There are so many blessings that come when you give to the Lord. The people responded generously to Hezekiah. And when Hezekiah saw the heaps and the mounds of what they were bringing during two harvests, we don't really see it in the English, but when you look at the original language, what's actually happening is he grew concerned. He was actually a little bit worried. So he goes to the priest, and basically what he's saying is he's saying, hey, what's going on? Right? We have so much. We have heaps and heaps and all of these things that people have brought. Have we asked too much of them? Are they giving too much of their harvest and now we have an abundance and they're out there struggling? And Azariah replies, he says, King Hezekiah, there's no reason to be concerned. Since the people began bringing their gifts to the Lord's temple, we've had enough to eat and plenty to spare. And the Lord has blessed his people. He's saying, if you think this is a lot, go see what everybody else has. Because God has blessed them generously. And this is what's left over from that blessing. You see, you can't outgive God. Tithing, there is blessings in tithing and giving to the Lord. An entire nation, Israel, they saw and reaped the benefits of the blessings of God. See, when you test God with your tithe, he proves himself faithful each and every time. If you want to increase your faith, start to tithe. It will be one of the hardest steps of faith that you will take. Listen, when I first started tithing as a 16, 17-year-old, when I first got a job, it was not easy. And I didn't do it every paycheck like I was supposed to. But I'll tell you what, over time, I learned that the more I tithe, the more faithful God was to me. If you want to increase your faith, you start tithing, and you will see how faithful God truly is. He will make sure that there's not just enough, but plenty left over. Because that's who God is. He is a generous God. And he challenges every believer to test him in this. So put God to the test. His blessings from this. I've said this before and I will say it again and I will stand by it. I believe so strongly in taking God at his word and testing his faithfulness that I will commit to you that if you tithe for 1 year, and you don't see any blessings from God after that year, if you're still struggling, if you're like, man, I'm in debt now and all of these types of things and I just can't do it, we will give you your tithe back for that entire year. We will. Because God tells us, this is the one time in scripture he says, put me to the test. So let's put him to the test. Tithe for 1 year. And if you have not experienced the blessings of God, we'll give it back to you. Because God's word isn't true. I will tell you, I have never in my life spoken to somebody who tithes on a regular basis and had them say, I have not received the blessings from God. Never in my entire life. And you're like, well, Pastor, you're not that old. I've talked to a lot of people though. I've never met somebody who tithes who says, I've not experienced the blessings of God in my life. Put him to the test. I'll tell you though, it's still not easy, but test him. You may be saying, Pastor Brandon, why are you preaching so strongly on this? Why are you willing to give us our money back after a year if God doesn't bless us? Because, point number four, last point, because tithing is personal. Tithing is personal. What do I mean by that? That's not the right point. It's tithing is personal. Well, sorry about that. It didn't get put in there. What do I mean by tithing is personal? If I were to call you and I said, hey, I'm going away for a while. I've got some things that I have to do. Big, long business trip. I'll be gone for 3 to 6 months. And I said, here is what I need you to do. I'm going to give you $5,000 every single month. $5,000. You can do with that $5,000 whatever you want. You can buy a house. You can buy a boat. You can go on vacation. You can do whatever you want. The only thing I need you to do with that $5,000 while I'm gone is I need you to give 500 of it, 10%, to my wife every month because we have a family to support. We need to buy diapers and milk because our son drinks a lot of milk and he grows like crazy and diapers aren't cheap. So that's all I need you to do. Give $500 a month to Kinsey to pay the bills, and you can keep the other $4,500. That sounds pretty great, right? So after a couple of months, imagine that I call Kinsey, and I say, hey, is that $500 a month coming in? She says, well, yeah, this person's giving $500 a month, and this person's giving $500 a month, and it's great because, you know, we've Cordell has grown. We got to buy new clothes and all this kind of stuff. And the electric bill this month was a little bit higher, so it's been great. And these few people over here, man, they've been giving $750 a month. I'd be like, well, wow, I didn't ask them to give $750 a month. I asked them to give $500 a month. Man, that's incredible. What generous people. So it's, yeah, but, you know, there's a handful of people that, you know, they're giving about $200 a month. And there's a couple other people that, you know, they started giving for the first couple of months and then it turned into 200 and this month I haven't gotten anything. Be like, well, man, that's a bummer. I gave them $5,000 a month. Why aren't they giving you the $500 that I asked? They get $4,500. They can do whatever they want with. Imagine I would be a little upset, right? Because I gave you the money. That's how God is. Everything that you have is the Lord's. We talked about that last week. Everything you have. And the only thing he asks in return with that money is to give 10% back to him as worship so more people can hear about Jesus. You see, the church is the bride of Christ, right? It's the bride of Christ. That's what Scripture says. So imagine how personal, those of you who are married, imagine how personal your relationship with your spouse is, how intimate and how close that is. And if you ask somebody to care for your spouse while you were gone and they didn't do it, that's personal. The church is the bride of Christ, and God has given each and every one of us different levels of talents and skills and abilities and resources, and all he asks in return is to give 10%. And if you do that, he's going to continue to bless you. He's going to continue to give it to you. But if you don't, what will happen, and Scripture talks about this, is those that don't, God will take what he's been giving to them, and he'll give it to those who are giving $750 because he knows that they will be generous and it's all about their heart and that they will worship the Lord and that he will provide for his church, the bride of Christ. Tithing is very personal to the Lord. It's personal to God. Not only because the church is the bride of Christ, but we'll look at this more next week. But it's also personal to God because God first gave us a tithe. When you look at the life of Jesus, the one and only Son of God, which means he's what? He's the first. And God gave him as a sacrifice so we could have everything, eternal life, eternal victory, eternal rewards in him. He gave us his Son so we could be blessed with eternal salvation. To God, that's personal. So how do we respond this morning? How do we respond? One, I don't want you to respond to this message out of condemnation. I hope none of you feel condemned. But I do want you to seriously consider why you do or you don't give to the Lord. And ask the Lord, Lord, what are you speaking to me? I believe that what the Lord is speaking to all of us is this. Put me to the test. Test me and see if I will not open the heavens and pour out my blessings upon you. So if you would, let's stand together this morning. Let's respond to the Lord with the posture of our hearts. Let's sing this song to the Lord as he speaks to us this morning. Lord, with all Last thing I want to say before we close out our time together. Some of you, you may be thinking, man, Pastor Brennan, I would love to start tithing. I would absolutely love it. But you know, I just don't know if my spouse will be on board with that. I'm just not sure. One, have a conversation with your spouse. But two, if maybe your spouse doesn't know the Lord, and so they don't understand why you should tithe, what better way to show them the faithfulness of God than by asking them to go on this journey with you? Ask them, say, do you want to see God's faithfulness? To see, to put him to the test and to see if he will stand by his word or not. And you will watch God not only bless you financially, but he will begin to bless your marriage and speak to your spouse in ways that you never thought possible. Have that conversation with them. One way that you can do that is we have purchased the book, The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. We got 15 copies, one for each family. If we don't have enough, we will order some more because we want each one of you go through this, read this book. It will change your life in your faithfulness to God, your obedience. You will grow so much in your relationship with him when you surrender your life in every area to him. So grab a book before you leave. It is a wonderful, wonderful resource that we want to give you. So let me pray over you all, and then we will go enjoy some fellowship together. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth that you speak in every aspect, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God, I pray that you will just continue to just change and cultivate and grow our hearts as we go through this series, to be more generous people, Lord, so we can continue to share the gospel with those here in our community, share the gospel with people in the Bighorn Basin who haven't yet experienced your love and your grace and your mercy and your justice and around the world. Thank you for being so generous and giving to us. We give just a little bit back to you. May you bless us and keep us. May your face shine upon us. Be gracious in all we say and do until we gather here together again to worship you. In your holy, mighty name.